This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators, but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Hello, welcome to Badass Women's Hour with me, Harriet Minter. Now, if you've been listening for a while, you know that usually we record a radio show on a Saturday night and we take the best bits and bring them to you on the podcast on Monday. But things being what they are, the radio show is currently being broadcast, well, pretty much entirely about coronavirus. And I think we've all had enough of that for now. So for this week and next, and possibly going forward, we're going to be bringing you some of the highlights of the show over the last 4 years. This week we've got comedian Sophie Hagen and relationship coach, all-round guru Natalie Liu. First up, Sophie.
Welcome back to Badass Women's Hour XL with me, Harriet Minter, Emma Sexton and Amanda Prowse. And joining us in the studio now, comedian and author Sophie Hagen, talking about her new book, Happy Fat. Hello, Sophie.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. So we were saying earlier in the show how much we love the cover of your book.
Thank you.
Because it's essentially you with your stomach exposed and a happy face drawn on your stomach.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know you and know your background, tell us a little bit about you and how you came to write the book.
So I've been fat my entire, the book's called Happy Fat, and I've been fat my entire life. And in the past 8 years, I've kind of tried to escape this, I'm going to use like big annoying words, like prison of, you know, self-hatred. You know what I mean? Like I've been on the journey towards self-love, you know, all this stuff. And I've gone from, you know, hating my body and thinking that I was the problem, and then to realizing that it's a structural system that's, you know, anti-fat people, and there's nothing wrong with me and my body is amazing. And, you know, at the same time, I've been doing comedy, I've been a comedian now for 9 years, and I just wanted to put it all in a book, you know, because I started talking out so much about you know, fat activism and fat liberation, and I would get so many people asking me, but how do you do it? Yeah. And so many people still don't really understand what it's about. So fortunately I got to put everything I know in a book.
And for people who are listening who don't understand what it's about, when we're talking about fat activism, what do we mean?
I think it's easiest to put it into perspective if you compare it to body positivity, because a lot of people will know what body positivity is, and this idea that you should love your body and you could love your body. Well, fat activism is sort of a bit more of the radical stance on that, which is, instead of it being up to us to learn how to love our bodies, we should start focusing on the structure that teaches us not to, because there are children down to the age of 3 who feel like they're too fat and they want to start dieting, and that is terrifying. Mm. So instead of it being up to us to teach each other how to unlearn this, we need to focus on the fact that this is structural oppression, which is also 2 very boring words, isn't it? But it is essentially a bunch of execs and CEOs and the whole system that revolves around teaching particularly women to hate their bodies. So we spend so much energy and money on trying to become thin, and we spend our whole lives and all of our energy and just being hungry all the time and thinking that we have to be thin to be worthy. And fat liberation is about making sure they stop telling us that we're unworthy so we can live our lives.
I want to clap. I nearly did. I nearly did. And I thought, yeah, thank you. Don't do that, Mandy.
No, do do that, actually. I mean, I like that. That's what I live for. Thank you.
I find it fascinating because, like you, I've been fat my whole life. And I would say I only realised maybe 2.5, 3 years ago that some of the things that I held as very true beliefs were perhaps not entirely correct.
It's amazing, isn't it? That moment when you're like, wait a minute, it's not a fact. You know, fat equals bad is not a fact. It's an opinion. You're like, whoa, wait a minute.
So I was like, oh my gosh, all those times I've been to my doctor and been like, no, but there must be something wrong with me. And they're like, no, you're very healthy. Because I had completely associated thin with healthy and fat with unhealthy. And to a degree where even when my body was completely fine and normal, I was convinced there must be something. And I didn't realise that's something that we just do as a society. How did you start to see that? What was the stuff that showed up for you that you were like, oh, hang on, that's a weird belief. Where has that come from?
It was very much a singular moment that turned it all upside down for me. I met this radical queer body activist at the Copenhagen University, where I thought I was going to study Russian for 3 years. That did not happen because I was sat next to Andrea, and Andrea was, she had a mullet, she had hair under her arms. I was like, oh my god, she's so cool. And you know, she knew I did stand up, so, and I would do very self-deprecating jokes about my fatness, you know, just kind of make apologies for myself, and oh, I know I'm fat, I eat too much. And so Andrea was like, right, okay, we can't have you do that. That's not okay. You're spreading a very negative thing. So she just taught me. She's like, this is what capitalism is. This is what feminism is. And, you know, the big picture is basically they're teaching us to hate our bodies so that they can make money off of us. And when you think back to how much money most people have spent on trying to lose weight, you're like, wow, I've single-handedly funded entire companies trying to lose weight. When you look into it, 98% of diets don't work. They always end up making you fatter. And that's a good business for them, because then you blame yourself. You go, you know, you
can
totally...
And you buy another diet.
And you often go back to the same one because it works in the beginning. You're like, oh my God, I lost so much weight, but then I failed, so I better go back to the thing that worked. That's how they make money. And it just clicked in my head when she said that. I was like, wait a minute. So are you saying I could like my body? She's like, yes. And I was like, whoa.
She almost gave you permission, really, Sophia.
She just opened a whole, a doorway into this world where everything that I'd been told was not possible was possible. You know, it's like you can choose to be happy with this.
And isn't it interesting? Sorry. I was going to say, do you feel liberated now? Do you feel like, and especially like writing this book, do you feel like you've addressed all those things that were making you, you know, not like yourself, not live your life to the full?
I think so. Yeah, I think I do feel, well, I feel liberated from the voice in my head that used to tell me all these things, that I had to be thin to be happy, that I wasn't good enough, all of these things. And now the feeling of being chained up is now more about how I can see it happen all the time. I can see that it's still, it's holding me back, but it's, you know, society holding me back and not my own inner self-hatred. So it's, you know, it's like escaping from one prison into another where you're like, hold on, can I please be let out of this? Yeah. Thank you.
I think it's really interesting. I remember a few years ago, we were on a panel and it was about body confidence. And Emma asked a question like, do you feel body confident? And I thought it was really difficult because I feel confident in my body. I'm like confident that it will get me up in the morning and it will take me to the bus stop and it'll do things. But I can walk into a situation where the rest of the world does not feel that way. And so for no fault of its own, my body is suddenly not good enough because everyone else has decided it's not. And it's that funny thing. You notice, you go, well, I've shifted it. Oh, but you haven't. So how do you have that conversation with other people when they still have all their expectations? How do you start to kind of edge them towards a more open-minded stance?
I mean, I'll be honest with you, that's the best thing about having a book is that now I can just hold it up in front of my face and be like, please don't speak to me. Just read this. I'm tired. It's always being framed as a debate, isn't it? Yeah. Like something that people can have an opinion on. And I think that's the main problem with how a lot of the discourse is at the moment, is that it's a, you know, oh, I guess we just have different opinions, but we don't. Like everything that I've written about, everything I know about fatness is based on facts and science, you know. It's not my opinion that fat is good, or it's not my opinion that it's not bad to be fat. That's facts. It's just not. It's just, it's okay. It really is. And that's, I had a journalist say to me, "You always talk as if you're right." I was like, "Yeah, I am very much. I'm right. That's, yes, I am. It's based on logic and facts and science." So I'm kind of tired of being, you know, asked to, and it happens so much. That's why I love stuff like this, where, you know, we're kind of above all of that sort of stuff. But I'm so often asked to debate someone who disagrees with me, and I'm like, but that's someone who disagrees with me. They just haven't understood it yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then I can't be the one educating them. They have to, you know, I wrote it in the book, read the book, Google it. And then we can come back and have a conversation once we've all understood that this is based on truth, basically.
And what
I was going to say, I think even I love the word fat. You've used the word fat. I'm also a fat woman. I do love my body. I'm extremely confident in just about every aspect of my life, apart from the cooking, which is a bit ropey. But I think even using the word fat, people shy away from it. People will go up to people and say, "You're skinny. Aren't you thin? Aren't you skinny?" They'll even poke your ribs.
Yeah.
They'll never come up to me and go, "God, you're looking fat. Aren't you fat? Aren't you chubby?" But actually, we need to have those conversations because, you know what? We're here. This is it.
Yeah, and have you ever tried saying to someone that you're fat and just seen their faces drain from blood, just being like, "No, you're beautiful. You have such a pretty face.
You have a lovely personality.
Yeah, you have a lovely personality. Please help me, help me."
What do you think about the magazine? So was it Cosmopolitan who featured? Who was the
Tess
Halliday on the front cover? What do you think about? Do you feel like we are moving towards that more liberated world? Is that a magazine's doing that, supporting the cause or not supporting the cause?
It's such a tricky one, isn't it? Because it's things can be so good and so bad at the same time. You know, it's the whole thing about, like, body positivity is good in that it makes us feel better about, well, it's meant to make us feel better about ourselves, and that is inherently a positive thing. But the fact that that is the focus is a huge problem, because it shouldn't be about us. It should be about them who does this to us. And it's sort of the same with the Tess Halliday situation. It's amazing to have a fat woman on the front cover of a fashion magazine or women's magazine. That's amazing. It's good. We need to see those bodies. And, you know, my life is filled with fatness. I have my Instagram feed is full of fat women, and I love it. You know, I have it all my artwork at home is just fatness. So it's good. I know representation really, truly matters. But then again, you know, Tess Halliday has a lot of beauty privilege. You know, she's very, you know, her face
very beautiful.
Yeah. She's very beautiful. She's white, which isn't like this almost exclusively just white people all over body positivity. And so, you know, there are issues within that. And also, we shouldn't have, it doesn't matter how we look. That should be the main thing. Why are we?
When did it become sin?
We agree. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us. We loved you. Sophie's book, Happy Fat, is out now. Go buy it. We love it.
Thank you so much.
This is the Badass Women's Hour podcast.
Now, if you are maybe isolating with somebody else or by yourself and feeling a bit lonely, The Next Woman is my absolute go-to when I have any relationship queries. She is a genius. Natalie Liu takes us through how we can all look after ourselves and others better.
Yes, we are going to talk about sex, and specifically when you should not be having it, which is outside of the monogamous agreement you've clearly made. So this comes from a piece written by relationships expert Tammy Nelson this week, when she says, actually, we should all be creating monogamy agreements. We shouldn't just assume because we're in a relationship with somebody that it is monogamous, nor should we assume that what they mean by monogamy is what we mean by monogamy. Ladies, when you are going out with somebody and you get to that point where sort of, I think it's a weirdly British thing, where you're going out for a bit and then suddenly you introduce them to your friends or they introduce you to their friends, and one or other of you says, "This is my boyfriend / girlfriend," and you go, "Oh, we are now boyfriend and girlfriend," and suddenly all this stuff comes with it, including that you're not going to sleep with other people. Have you ever then sat down and had a conversation about, what do we mean by being in a monogamous relationship?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, you can.
So for me, it's been slightly different as I've got older. It hasn't been, ooh, that moment when you say we're boyfriend and girlfriend. Yeah. The conversation around, are we sleeping with other people, happens a lot sooner, because it's at the forefront of my mind as a question. And so that question comes in quite quickly, especially at the point where I then start having sex with someone. I have an interesting relationship with monogamy. I'm not convinced there is one person that you find or I will find for the rest of my life that I want to be with forever and ever and ever. I think 10 years is a good innings.
Very good stretch, yeah.
Yeah. So I also think that I would want to be really, really angry if my partner had sex with someone else because it's a violation of our relationship and it's disrespectful. But I know there's a part of me that would understand the context if I was in an environment and I was just energetically drawn to someone and we had a moment. I get it. Mm-hmm. And so my brain tells me there's a way I should behave, and actually my heart tells me that I do just think we have one life, and if I was in a room with a really hot guy and I was in a relationship with another hot guy and I wanted to do something with that hot guy, I don't know if I wouldn't not do that thing.
Could be just deemed as a bit greedy.
It could be. But and so these are the things I think about, and these are the conversations that I have.
Yes, I have. With somebody where you said, actually, I just want you to know that this is a possibility that could happen.
I have actively discussed, yes, open relationships and how they feel about open relationships and how I feel about open relationships. Some guys just completely don't get it at all.
Yeah.
Some guys, say, that's great because I can still have a relationship with someone else. And then they forget it means the same thing for me. And then they go, oh, no, I don't like that. And some guys get it that on the journey of a long relationship, actually, it's a conversation that you want to have and you should be checking in more regularly. And that's why I'm excited. I'm dating someone now and we have an open conversation around we should just check in regularly that we look at each other and want to be with each other.
Yeah.
And at the point where either of us doesn't or there's someone else, I'd rather we were honest and have that conversation. A robot, no. I know we're going to come on to that. I'm not here for the robots, but I could understand.
But the thing is, I think with monogamy there's a lot of drivers that cause people to be non-monogamous, and some of them are smart, intelligent conversations where you're like, actually, it's a moment, you know, an adult. But then there's some people who are doing that because of their own, yeah, I don't know, they want that validation or they're not feeling desired by their partner. Yeah, yeah. So it's driven by, not from a place of I'm going to make this decision because this is a moment of chemistry, but it's driven by other things that then means that they end up regretting that then jeopardize their relationship. I don't know how you can agree to this. I think you can want to be monogamous. I think you can be ambitious about being monogamous. But I think that there's so much research out there now that we are not naturally
monogamous.
There's like one animal or one thing on this planet that is actually monogamous and everything else isn't.
Don't
we're
they
not
die
actually wired
after
that way.
Have sex?
Is that dolphins? Don't know. We'll ask. We've got a relationships expert joining us, relationship expert and host of the Baggage Reclaim podcast, Natalie Liu, on the phone. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Harriet. How are you?
Good, thank you. So let's start with what I'm going to say is a simple question. It's not a simple question. What do we mean by the word monogamy?
Well, typically when we think of a monogamous relationship, it means that you are in a relationship together. Ideally, it's a mutually fulfilling relationship and you are faithful to each other. So you're only with each other. And so anything else outside of that, i.e. if you're sleeping with other people, you know, particularly if it's on the quiet, it means you're continuing to date while you're actually still in a relationship. And so that is non-monogamous. It's quite interesting listening to what you guys are saying, because I actually, when you talked about that, the quintessential English experience of you go to meet each other's friends and you go, oh, how should I introduce you? That's exactly what happened with me and my now husband. You know, I think it was on our second or third official date and we were going to a party and he was like, I think I'm going to introduce you as my girlfriend. And boom. That's, you know, where it started from. It's quite fascinating because at the start of this, you were saying about how attitudes towards monogamy have changed and how monogamy, how it used to be, isn't quite the same as what it is now. Mm. I think that people's attitudes towards monogamy have very much to do with their values and how they were brought up and messages that they've picked up along the way about commitment, about being faithful, about what monogamy means. And what I found fascinating was this idea that, okay, everybody should have an agreement. But I think we all kind of really do know what monogamous means.
But do we then? Because one of the things that I find really interesting is, Nat and I have had this discussion before. So like for me, if my other half has a really good female friend and he goes over to that female friend's house for dinner, I am very chilled about that. That's fine. Nat, absolutely not.
No.
And so intrinsically, we already have different ideas about what monogamy is. And yet, do we need to have that kind of level of in-depth discussion up front?
For clarity, you can go out for dinner with a female friend. You cannot go to her house
very
where
specific.
She cooks for you and you eat her food in that space.
That's a little strange, I think. I mean, I think the whole, one of the things I say to people is that, because I hear from a hell of a lot of people who believe that they are in a relationship. And I said, did you actually have a conversation about this? Is this something that is out in the open between the two of you? Mm. Did you mutually agree that you're in a relationship? And 99% of the time, these people who are now coming to talk to me about their issues, they just assumed that they were in a relationship. And then the next thing is that when issues come up further down the line about, for instance, monogamy, is that they assume, like you guys mentioned, that one person's idea of what constituted a relationship or what was acceptable was the same as the other, which actually an open and ongoing dialogue does need to happen. So at the point where two people agree to be in a relationship, I always say it's a good idea to make sure you're actually on the same page about what a relationship means. Because I hear from the people who go, oh, they said that like we're in a relationship. And then a month or so, well, actually, it turns out that, he's actually still sleeping with other people. And I said, well, obviously, you need to have a conversation about what each of your ideas are about a relationship. Because if you're not on the same page, you're not in the same relationship.
I'm going to ask, we're going to discuss what page sex robots are on in a minute after this break.
This is the Badass Women's Hour podcast. You can get in touch on all the socials on @BadassWomen'sHour.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
We are talking monogamy and when or when not something is monogamous. We've got Natalie Liu, relationships expert, on the phone. Now, you've got a question.
I do. So, I think this is, I do think people need to have conversations and almost have some kind of monogamy agreement because things really have changed. And reading through some of these case studies and a couple of maybe a month ago, we had the CMO of Ashley Madison on the phone, and he made a very compelling case for why married people might want to have an affair with another married person, where actually it's just about that one-off interaction and not leaving their other half. And I think people should have a conversation about what is the line of when someone goes too far. So the case studies we've got here, we've got Mort's wife, Anne, felt deceived when she discovered that Mort and his buddies went to a strip club on their golfing trip. Because he didn't get a lap dance, he didn't feel like he needed to tell Anne, and obviously Anne was really upset. Where is that on the line in terms of conversation? But also flirtatious emails with a stranger on the internet, sexting, feeling attracted sexually to another person, looking at another person when you're with your other half, or even if you're not with your other half, but staring at someone you find attractive, watching pornography alone. There's a spectrum. What each person finds disrespectful really is, it's blurry. And I think if you start a relationship without having these conversations, it's very easy to get hurt very quickly.
Natalie.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, sorry. I was saying to you, over to you, Natalie. I'm like, so where do we go from here? Where's the line?
Well, I mean, those things that you listed off there, there's some big variances in there. So, for instance, messaging flirtatiously with somebody online, many people, not all, would perceive that as emotional cheating. Some people say that actually feels worse for them than it would if, say, their partner went out and had sex with somebody once. Now, of course, somebody else will turn around and go, no, I prefer if they were messaging somebody than they actually went and had sex. But it just goes to show that there are such variances. The pornography issue, which is not everybody... Obviously, there are a lot of people out there that do watch pornography, but obviously sometimes people don't want their partner to be watching that. And what happens is, yes, you could start the relationship off by going, well, I don't like this, and I don't like this, and I don't want you to do this, and I don't want you to do that. And that may have its uses to a certain degree, but it depends on what stage of the relationship that you're at. And it can sound like you're sort of listing off everything that you don't like or things that you're afraid of being hurt about, and trying to, I don't know, force a person to disclose anything, I don't know, what's the word, unsavory about them up front. Whereas if you're having a sort of an ongoing dialogue and you encourage the person to be open and you're trying to build up, you know, this sort of love, care, trust and respect between the two of you, so this intimacy, you are going to be having conversations and going, oh, actually, I'm surprised that you're doing that, but okay. Or actually, no, I don't particularly like that. I think that there are some obvious things. So some of the examples that you gave there. Did you say one about flirting in public with somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, whether you're with your partner or not, I hear from a lot of people who they've been out with their partner and their partner is rubbernecking somebody else. It's really disrespectful to do that. It's like, what, you couldn't wait till at least I got up and went to the bathroom or something? But it's like, hold on a second, you're out with me and you're eyeballing the people here. There's a disrespect, I think, that's going on there.
Emma.
But also, so if you're with your partner and you can see the interactions and you can obviously have a conversation and go, you know, I find that disrespectful when you do that. But there's a lot of stuff here that you could deem as cheating. The reality is you don't know. You are not in your partner's head. You don't know how they're interacting with another human being. You don't even know if they've cheated on you on a Saturday night. So making the agreement is kind of ridiculous because you would never know.
Exactly.
I disagree.
Well, you wouldn't know. You can do is go, right, I don't know what they're up to. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But if I catch them doing cheating on me or I find out they slept with someone else, then it's over or whatever I want it to be.
No, so I'm saying have the conversation up front. So it goes back to the conversation I was saying about having an open relationship. I share what I deem to be the sort of relationship that I want to have. And that includes the sort of sex that I want to have, how I want to feel, what my insecurities are, and it's a two-way conversation. And so
you think
it's a two-way conversation, but you have absolutely no idea.
But I'm asking them as well. And so then there's a kind of, this is what's acceptable and this is what isn't acceptable. And these are the grey areas. So if this was to happen, I would need to work out how I feel based on the scenario because I just don't know in that moment.
I have a scenario for you.
Okay.
Your partner masturbating, does that count as cheating?
No.
No.
Right. So your partner having sex with a sex robot.
Oh, God.
Does that count as
because
cheating?
Because you're weird. It doesn't count as cheating. It basically says to me that you're weird because you'd rather have sex with a robot than have sex with me. Or I don't know. I'm like,
hang on. You're just saying you wouldn't necessarily mind if your partner had sex with someone else. So why does it matter if it was a robot?
Because it's weird. How could you get off to a robot? I just don't get it. It's like
Natalie,
so sterile.
Intimacy issues. Intimacy issues coming up there. I actually watched the episode of 30 Rock. I'm rewatching that now at the moment, and it was an episode with James Franco where he's basically in a relationship with a Japanese manga pillow, I think it is, and he takes the pillow. Yeah, he does, and basically his agent arranges for him to have one of these show relationships because he doesn't want to draw attention to the fact that he's in this relationship with a pillow. And apparently this is a thing. I actually thought they were joking about it, but there are actually people who have these pillows, and it's got like, you know, these manga figures.
Yeah,
you know,
it's manga porn, isn't there?
Yeah, and they take the pillow out with them. And so the idea was to have this show
weird
relationship.
Wow. But, weird.
I get the whole, I say to people that it's so important to actually have an open and ongoing dialogue, not just about monogamy, but actually where the real intimacy of showing each other who you are, mm-hmm, so that you can build your relationship on that foundation. And I get the whole being honest and upfront about, actually, this is the type of relationship that I want to be in, because unless you mutually agree that you're in that relationship over time, you're going off in different directions. And the thing is, you need to get a sense of whether you share the same core values. Now, if, for instance, and I hear again this all the time, people say, actually, my values are that it's really important for me to be in a relationship with somebody who just wants to be with me. That's fine. But why are you in a relationship with somebody who wants to sleep around with everybody else? You have two entirely different sets of values in that area. And so I remember last year I went to a talk where there was a discussion about polyamory and swinging and all the rest. And I said, what people have to do is they have to know themselves. So, and that's what I'm hearing here, is that you guys actually know yourself. And so people who know themselves can be pretty honest and upfront about what it is that they want and where they're headed. But what happens is people say to themselves, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm totally cool with being in an open relationship. I'm totally cool with swinging. And they say it because they're afraid that if they say that they're not, that they're going to miss out on being with this person, that they're going to endanger the possibility. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to sit there gnawing your fingernails apart and shredding yourselves with anxiety night after night because you're wondering who your partner's with, who they're sleeping with, you're competing with somebody else, mm-hmm, that's messed up. And also,
Natalie, I love you. I'm going to have to stop you there. But if you want more of Natalie's wisdom, do check out our podcast or our website, Baggage Reclaim. She is brilliant. And I just, everything I know good about relationships, basically, I learned from Natalie Liu. She's amazing.
You've been listening to Badass Women's Hour. If you like the show, then help more people find us. You can tag us or talk to us on social media using @BadassWomen'sHour. Or you can be really lovely and leave us a review and a rating. 5 stars, please. It helps boost us up the podcast rankings and allows other people to find us. We'll be back next week with more badass guests and in-depth chat.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.